I would like to open in a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about building on a firm foundation. And I hope it's an encouragement to all of us here today. So let's just bow our hearts. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remembered this morning. And we just thank you that it's a foundation that's more firm than we could even possibly understand that we're standing on. And I just pray as we go through some scripture today and study that topic, I pray that it would be an encouragement to us that we are standing on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray this for all of us this morning that know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking about building on a firm foundation. And we might switch the bikes as we go, maybe. First, I wanted to say this morning that the first service was wonderful this morning. And I'm very glad it came. And it sort of felt like the analogy I was thinking of is taking a sheet that's attached to the Lord and giving it a good shake in the morning, and all the garbage of the world that's collected all week is kind of just removed. And we can have nice fresh sheets this morning as we're praising the Lord. Can I switch mics? Okay. Can we hear me now? You didn't like that little hum in the background all the time? It is on, yes. Okay. Speaking of firm foundations. Okay. And a lot of the lessons we've been discussing over the last several months, and I've heard some of them and been down for Sunday school for some of them and haven't heard all of them. And they were about a lot of the building blocks of the foundations of our faith. And so just sort of all my heart and my mind today to sort of step back and have a look at all the building blocks together in this big, wonderful foundation that we have. And it sort of reminded me of a road map or looking down on a map. And a lot of times when I moved to Richmond, it was a new area and I didn't know where I was going, and I got some directions and I got a few building blocks of where the roads went. And I spent 2 or 3 months driving from Coquitlam into Richmond once a week for something called product pickup. And then I discovered that in the entire time that there was a very large highway that I didn't even know was there that would have cut my travel time in probably half. And I was taking all these neat roads and marine drives, and because I didn't have the sort of full picture of the map. And so hopefully that all the pieces that we've been talking about, I can just sort of put them all together in a room and we can just look at them all at once, and I hope it's just encouraging to us. Brother John this morning talked about talking to ourselves, and I was just going to say I'm basically preaching entirely to myself this morning, most of the messages I'm going to be talking. So if nothing else, when your friends ask you, how was church today, you can tell them that you just saw a man talk to himself for a half an hour up on stage. Because that's exactly what's happening. So I don't want to sound like I'm preaching to. I'm part of the choir, if that's a good analogy. And it's a wonderful foundation on which we're building. Now, let's just talk about foundations for a minute. Everybody's seen foundations, from big ones to small ones. And I looked up some information about foundations. And I used to work in a sign shop, and we sold these little highway signs and on highway posts. And the posts weigh 10 pounds, and the signs weigh 10 pounds. So you get 20 pounds maximum. But the foundations, I didn't like delivering the foundations. They were heavy and solid. They were probably 100 pounds, 120 pounds. And you don't see the foundations most of the time. They're hidden from view, but they're absolutely essential that they're there. And I was just talking to Kel. We were driving up to Camp Imadine, and there was these very large, big as this podium, big concrete blocks sitting on the side of the road. And I said, yeah, those are the foundations for the for the traffic lights that hold the lights up. She had no idea there was such a huge amount of concrete buried in the ground to hold up the structure. And I thought it was a good analogy, because we are called to be lights, lamps on a lampstand, and we have to be standing on a firm foundation. I looked up foundations for some big buildings. You can't see them here. I got the CN Tower and the Twin Towers in Malaysia, two big towers. And it was very interesting to read about them, because the foundations for the 1,800-foot structure that is the CN Tower is 50 feet deep. And I don't know how wide it is, but it's very wide, deep and wide. That's why we wanted to sing that this morning, deep and wide. And it had to go down far enough to hit something solid. And this other structure, it's a 1,400-foot structure, 1,500-foot, the Twin Towers in Malaysia. The ground was so soft that the foundation, to get down to bedrock, was 394 feet deep. So how important are the foundations that we have? And so I'm going to talk a lot about the foundations and how deep our foundations go in the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing, just as an aside, but which takes longer to build, the foundation of the building? Oftentimes, the foundation, you'd see this ugly hole in the ground for it seems like the builders aren't doing anything. All you see is boards and nothing's going on. And then overnight, it seems like this building just grows up out of nowhere from these foundations. So the foundations take more than we can imagine, the foundations of our salvation and the foundations of the work that we are to do in the Lord are extremely deep and extremely solid. Now, foundations for houses and bridges, skyscrapers, those kinds of things, they're well understood by engineers and those kinds of things. The foundations of our spiritual lives, our personal lives, each one of us individually, that's something that the world's wisdom does not understand. And fundamentally, the world's wisdom is building on a foundation of hopeless, godless self-reliance. That's the foundation. I have a couple of quotes here. Well, actually, Vancouver Olympics in 2010, their theme song, and the chorus of the theme song spoke to me. It's a beautiful song, but the words are not of the Lord, they are of the world. It says, "I believe in the power that comes from a world brought together as one. I believe together we'll fly. I believe in the power of you and I." Not of the Lord. Tina Turner was quoted as saying, "I didn't have anybody really, no foundation in life, so I had to make my own way. Always from the start, I had to go out in the world and become strong to discover my mission in life." Not a lot of hope in that. Another quote here, "My work is the only ground I've ever had to stand on. To put it bluntly, I seem to have a whole superstructure with no foundation, but I'm working on the foundation." That was Marilyn Monroe. And her building collapsed early. Not by course of nature. Let's turn in our Bibles. I'm going to read about some foundations. Let's read in Matthew 7. If you could turn to Matthew 7. I cheat and I use computers a lot when I'm preparing messages, and I discovered I'm not learning where things are in my Bible. I'm just reading them off here. So I'm going to try and read them in my Bibles like you're reading instead of cheating off my notes here. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. It's titled here, "Build Your House on the Rock." "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." We'll talk about that. "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So what does a wise man build his house on? He builds his house on the rock. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. What does a foolish man build his house on? He builds his house on the sand, no foundation. I've heard it said that the houses probably look about the same from the outside, but the one that's on no foundation, it really doesn't stand a chance when the shaking of it happens. And so somebody might ask me, "Well, I don't see a lot of houses falling around here. Give me some examples." Well, if you go back to verse 21, there's an example of a very, very great fall. It reads this way, verse 21, Matthew 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" That, in my mind, is the definition of a great fall. Right to the very gates of heaven. What was the problem? Well, this is the wrong foundation. Their foundation was not in the Lord. He never knew them. Lots of building going on. They were prophesying and casting out demons and many mighty works, but wrong foundation. Turn to John 8. I'm going to talk about Jesus talking to the Pharisees. John chapter 8. Here we have Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Lots of building, years of building, in fact, but empty building on the wrong foundation. We'll find out what the foundation is here. They answered him. This is verse 39. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." And they said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." So they were accusing him of his pedigree. Well, they were relying on their own pedigree, their own physical ancestry in Abraham. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Now why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." So there's the foundation that they're standing on. It's a scary foundation. I've never seen a third foundation in the Word of God. We're either standing on the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're standing on our Father, the prince of the power of the air. And so that's hopefully an application for you today to examine yourselves. This teaches us in the Word of God to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith and whether your works are being built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than the foundation that the ultra-religious Pharisees were building on. And 2 Corinthians says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Okay. So moving on to the foundation of our wonderful salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read some verses that are from all over the place, so you can just listen and we'll enjoy the Word of God. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So there's the foundation, the beginnings of it, the founder of our faith. Jesus is the only foundation, and there is no other foundation of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you." This is an axe now. "That was rejected by you, the builders, who has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And again, not my words, but the words of God for sure. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our salvation. I looked up a little bit about cornerstones. Back when buildings were built out of masonry, the cornerstone, or called the foundation stone, is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry building. And it is the most important stone, since all the other stones will be set in reference to this stone. It was in the corner, and if you're doing tiling, it's the first tile you lay is the most important one. It's got to be straight and true and perfect. And the cornerstone has to be straight and true and perfect in this direction and that direction and this direction and this direction. It had to be as perfect it could be stone, and it was the stone in which the entire building, and which we're going to talk about, is the foundation of our salvation is built upon, is this cornerstone. And you look at all of history through creation, through the millennium, all in eternity past and eternity future, we see pre-Christ scripture and saints all point and look forward to Christ, the cornerstone. And some of the mysteries that people didn't understand in the Old Testament were made very clear when the cornerstone was set in place and everything became true to that. And post-Christ scripture, the saints and the scripture point back to Christ. And we look back to the cornerstone, which we remembered this morning at the breaking of bread. Ephesians 2:19-21 says this, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." I think it's just a wonderful verse that sort of just sums it all up. All of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful thing that it is that he is the cornerstone of our salvation. Now we've talked a lot about building blocks or the blocks that the foundation is built out of. And I'm just going to quickly go through them. And I did this a lot for me too because I missed a lot of the sermons. And so let's just go through this quickly as a summary and a wonderful reminder of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, the blocks that he has inserted into this foundation. In no particular order, we have reconciliation. He's restored us to harmony with God. Romans 5 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Justification. Steve talked about that last week. I had a chance to listen to that. Made or accounted as just or righteous. What a wonderful building block and foundation that is. Romans 4-5, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." We have redemption, which is the definition of that is to buy or pay off a debt owed for a fault or a mistake, or in our case, deliverance or rescue from sin to salvation. And then a big word, propitiation, appease or satisfying the requirements of God's judgment against our sin. Romans 3:23 summarizes this up, 23-25. "For all have sinned," we've all heard this, "we've all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received in faith." There's a whole bunch of building blocks in there. And this was to show God's righteousness because of his divine forbearance. He had passed over former sins. And we have regeneration. We're made new. Put off the old self to put on the new. Titus speaks of this in Titus 3. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures." We talked about that at not Tommy last week. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." And there's the regeneration. "Whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And that's where we have the born again Christians. We're born again. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit. And then we have sanctification, which is to be made holy, set apart as sacred. There's a couple of references to this. Thessalonians says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Colossians 1, it says, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death." It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, in his body of flesh, in order that to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." There's the sanctification, holy and blameless. And then we have grace and faith. Two more of the building blocks of the cornerstone of our salvation. Ephesians 2, it reads this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." And then the very familiar verses here, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. We are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I think it's exciting that the works have been prepared too, beforehand. This is not a very good analogy, but I'm going to use it anyways. I've played a lot of golf in my life, and the PGA Tour has, the Masters. Have you ever heard of the Masters golf tournament? And it's a very hard golf tournament to get into if you want to play in it. It's hard just to get tickets to go watch it, actually, but if you want to play in the Masters, you have to earn your way there. You have to win a tournament that year, or you have to have finished in the top 20 the year before. But there is one other way that you can earn your way there once. Now, it's you doing it, so it's not a perfect analogy. If you can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ playing the game for you. But if you win the Masters, you are invited to the Masters for the rest of your life. Whether you turn into the worst hacker in the history of the game of golf, or whether your game is sharp, doesn't matter. You're invited, so you're in. And if you could imagine playing in tournaments and the pressure of trying to get into something like that, and knowing that at least this one tournament, it's a sure thing. And that speaks to me of the work the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, is that we can do our preparations and we can do the service that he's asked us to do, and knowing that it doesn't matter how good or bad it is coming from us, that he's using us, and that one day we will be in heaven with him. And Carl would be testifying to that today if we could talk to him. A couple other things about the foundation here. It says that it's always there no matter where you go. And he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It's a foundation that is unchanging. Jesus Christ, he's the foundation, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read this morning in Psalm 103, Steve read it this morning, "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." So what a foundation that is. So when are the foundations built? So I'm going to quote some scripture about how deep are the pillars upon which we stand? So the first scripture is Paul. He's speaking about himself to the Galatians, about the Lord's work in his life. Galatians 1:15, he says, "But when the Lord, who had set me apart," there's sanctification, before I was born, and who called me by his grace. So he was sanctified before he was even born. Now, do the foundations go back any further than that? Well, Paul, speaking to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 1:3-5, says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us," there's the grace, "in him," when? "Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy," there's sanctification, "and blameless," justification, "before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons," there's reconciliation, "through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." So we find God's grace and plan for our sanctification, justification, and reconciliation made and planned before the foundations of the world. What a wonderful, how deep the foundations of our salvation go. Now, could they go further still, or back further still? Well, Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 10, said this. He said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling," sanctification, "not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus." Now, when did he give it? "Before the ages began. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So we have foundations of grace and sanctification set before time began, before the ages. So your salvation today that you're enjoying and standing on has been a long time coming. And it's a lot deeper than 400 feet or 50 feet. In fact, it's so deep that it's been grounded. It's grounded in a reality that's beyond even the physical reality of the world we live in the existence of time itself. And then finally, and obviously our thought about the foundation is that a foundation is not built, because of when it was built, it's not built by you and I. And Larry was talking about that last week a bit at Mount Tommy. And I'll read this verse again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about building on the foundation. I don't know if we've seen foundations. Some foundations are crisp and fresh and new, and the building begins, and very soon you have a wonderful building. Maybe not extravagant, maybe not a skyscraper, but a building, and it's there. But then on the other side, you see foundations that have been, you've been sitting for a long time. And what happens when you leave a foundation and you don't build on it? It's all covered in thorns and thistles and weeds and dust. And a book Steve Nuttall lent me about the pyramids I was reading. And their foundations, some of them, they started building them and they didn't get a chance to finish for whatever reason. And they're buried there, unseeable, unless you know what you're looking for. And they dug and found some of them. And so a couple points here. Number one is, have a look at the building that's going on your foundation. If you see lots of thorns and thistles and weeds and things, that's a good sign you want to examine your building. Because typically it's a sign, well, most of the builders I know that have a foundation that looks like that, they're struggling and they're bankrupt. I can't remember what the other point is, so we'll move on. Now, when we build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ that goes so deep, there's a couple kinds of work we can do. Now I'm going to read from John 6. It says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So there's the beginnings. And it's the ongoing, I don't know if we want to call it a dichotomy, of our responsibility to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by his grace, and by his grace that we have the faith to receive him. So I don't have a way to explain that, other than the fact that it's in Scripture. I've heard it called parallel truths before by a brother at one time. So there's two kinds of work in the Christian life. Work that endures, and work that perishes. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, on the foundation, that's the Lord Jesus, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. I think Carl's enjoying some rewards today in heaven, because he was building on the building a work that endured. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. Amen. But only as through fire. So we are saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the work we do in our saved Christian lives may not necessarily make it through the fire. So we have two kinds of work. We have work done in the flesh, and that's the building that will perish. And we have the work done in the spirit, and that will endure. Galatians, Paul writing to the Galatians in Galatians 5 says, but I say, walk in the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Paul struggled with this. For what I want to do, I do not. What I do not want to do, I do. Who can rescue me from this body of death, I think he said. So he, and Paul's one of the best examples we have of someone building on the firm foundations of the Lord, and he was struggling and struggling. I have a note here somewhere about the Israelites who left Egypt and were rescued from the bondage of Egypt. And the things that they saw, and I know Brother Steve's talked about this, it's amazing to us that the things that they saw that the Lord Jesus Christ did, that the Lord did for them to save them from Egypt. They saw the Red Sea, and however many miles apart it is, just split apart in walls of water, and they walked through it. They saw some manna fall from heaven. They saw amazing, amazing miracles. And yet they struggled and failed to build on the foundation as the Lord had commanded to them. So I guess the reality is, do we have these same challenges today? And I want this to be an encouragement to you. This battle is being fought on many fronts: distraction, temptation, misinformation. And the reality is, because of the battle, there isn't one single brother or sister here that isn't struggling in the battle to build wisely and endurably on the foundation. And I was going to say Carl being the only exception, but he's not here anymore. Now, he was an exception when he was here, but now all the work he's done, he's receiving the rewards of those things, the work that he's done in the Lord. Now, how do we make sure we're working in the Spirit and not in sin? Well, the first thing is confess our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how do I know? What's my measuring stick to sort of see whether I'm working in the Spirit? Well, you can tell by the fruit. In your life, you'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says, by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're seeing the opposites of those things, then you need to humble yourself before the Lord and see where you're missing. And it's very easy for us to see we're almost more familiar with the opposite of joy, or the opposite of peace, and the opposite of patience when we're driving to work in the morning, or the opposite of kindness when we're driving to work in the morning. And goodness, faithfulness, we struggle with faithfulness. Gentleness when we're raising children. Self-control when we're raising children. It's a struggle. And so I just wanted to be an encouragement to you that if you're struggling, please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't think you're alone in the struggles, because God's people have been struggling to stand on the foundation because of the sin in our lives since the beginning of mankind, since Adam and Eve walked the earth. Now, when are we to be doing the work of the Lord? And this is sort of my final encouragement to you, I hope. Because it seems like sometimes a monumental task to do the work of the Lord. He's got so many things that he's called us to do and a standard that is so high that it's unreachable. But the message I have for you hopefully today is that when we're supposed to do the work of the Lord is just for today. Just for today. You can't do it yesterday, because yesterday's gone. You can't do it tomorrow, because you're not there, and you may not be there, you never know. Today, many would have said today would have been one of Carl's tomorrows. Carl's not here. So just for today. Matthew 6 says it this way, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then it goes on to say, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day, or today, is its own trouble. So just one day at a time. And then I talked about this last time I talked. Matthew says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's a daily thing. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we talked about the yoke. It's a harness that usually manages a couple of animals as they're plowing or working the field. And to me, it's a wonderful picture that when we're doing the Lord's work, we're not alone. There's somebody else in the yoke with us, bearing the burdens, interceding for us at God's right hand. We talked about that this morning. So be encouraged. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lord and his word, and it's just a wonderful foundation. And then finally, I'm just going to close with this. If If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, I don't know any of your hearts. I just encourage you to humble yourselves before Him. Repent, be baptized, while you can still see and hear the good news that is the salvation. There will come a time when the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not pursue it, it's going to get covered up. And in this lifetime, it's very possible you may not be able to see it anymore, because it'll be so covered up, your vision will be so clouded by the things of this world and the garbage of this world. So I encourage you to get on the foundation while you can see it. And it says in God's word that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that covers all of us here. So Charles Stanley said this, I'll close with this. There is only one secure foundation, a genuine deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging all around, you'll stand firm if you stand on His love. And that's a much more encouraging quote than some of the other quotes I quoted earlier. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that today we can see the wonderful reality of Your Word and Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the foundation that He has built by His work on the cross. And we just pray that if there are people here who have not committed themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, have not humbled themselves before Him, I pray that they would do that today while they can still see the foundation. And I pray that for those of us that are building on the foundation, I pray we would remember and be encouraged that we are not struggling alone, that it is a burden, but it is a burden that we bear with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit walking with us and in us and through us. And I just pray that it would be an encouragement to us. And we pray these things for the balance of today. And as we pursue Your commandments, You've said that we can tell our love for You by the fact that we obey Your commandments. So I pray, Lord, that we would obey Your commandments this week out of the love we have for You and for the weeks to come. Lord willing, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.